Welcome to City of Iqaluit Governance and Priorities Committee meeting number 3. There is an agenda in front of you and was sent to you in the packages earlier. Is there somebody who'd like to move the agenda? Moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Are there any comments, questions, or additions to the agenda? Noting none, all those in favor? And we're unanimous. Excellent. Thank you. The first item on the agenda is the minutes from the last meeting. Assuming we've all had a chance to review those minutes. Moved by Mayor Awa, seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith. Are there any comments or questions to the minutes? Noting none, all in favor? Perfect. We're unanimous on that too. Are there any declarations of interest? Noting none. We will move all the way down to new business. And the first discussion item, bylaws identified for review, bylaw number 118, homeowner property tax grant bylaw. Brianna, I think you wanted to introduce this.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. So at the last Governance and Priorities Committee meeting, committee had identified a few bylaws early on in the bylaw index for review. We had sent two of these bylaws in particular to our legal team to identify if there would be any unintended consequences of repealing them so that we can make a recommendation to committee. So there are two bylaws that aren't included here, as we'd hope to have that recommendation back in time to present to you this evening, but the timeline didn't align. So we will continue discussions and review with our legal team and come back with a recommendation on those. That being said, one of the bylaws that committee identified, bylaw number 118, the homeowner property tax grant bylaw, is in your agenda package. And I can provide a brief overview on it before passing it over for questions and discussions. So this bylaw was created to provide a one-time grant or credit towards 1982 property taxes for eligible residences, which were also occupied by the owner of the residence. The bylaw does specifically mention that it will be a one-time grant only from 1982, so it's no longer active, relevant, it served its purpose. In our records, it is classified as an inactive bylaw. If committee wished to repeal this bylaw, the actions taken under the bylaw while it was still active wouldn't be rescinded. Repealing of this bylaw would fall into a kind of housekeeping category where the bylaws are not currently affecting anything but could be tidied up. So if committee has any questions on this bylaw, I'm happy to answer, and any discussion and feedback is welcomed. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Are there comments or questions from the committee? Go ahead, Kyle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I was the one that requested we review a copy of this because it wasn't available online, but seeing as it was basically a single-use item, I don't have any further questions with it. It just clarifies that it's not something to be concerned with at this point in time, so I'm good with it.
Thank you. Are there any other comments or questions? So are we then saying that we want to repeal this bylaw or just leave it where it is? Kyle?
I don't think there's any need to repeal it. It served its purpose and it just sits there. It's just purely administrative work just to repeal something that doesn't really have any impact on it. So in my opinion, I don't see the need to. It served its purpose. It's on the books for what it accomplished in 1982.
Mayor Awa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree. We can just delete it or remove it. Thank you.
So in terms of process for removing it, if we were to do that, that would have to go to council. Obviously, I wonder if we should wait on that decision even to send this to council to after we've seen those other two and whatever other housekeeping things, and maybe if indeed we decide it's worthwhile to delete a bunch, that we do it in a group amount. Deputy Mayor Smith?
Clay, I'm gonna make Itzi Vautek. That was kind of what I was going to ask. Like, are we, if we just identify a big group of these that are not relevant, not important, don't affect anything, can we just delete them in one fell swoop? Or do we have to do individual things in council for each one? Just out of, I guess, curiosity, like, will it have to be individual motions for each bylaw? Or could we just be like, none of these matter in any way at all? We're just going to get rid of them in one shot. So I think Brianna might have to take that one. Thank you.
Do you want to answer them?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Smith. Yes, so there are a number of these similar bylaws early on in the index of active bylaws that are kind of one time only, served their purpose. So if committee wanted to review a number of them or take a look at possibly kind of tidying up or repealing multiple at once, that certainly could be done. I believe it would have to be done through another bylaw, but there have certainly been bylaws that their explicit purpose is only to repeal other bylaws. It's certainly an option that committee could take to recommend that a bylaw be created to repeal bylaw X, Y, and Z. Thank you.
Thanks. And I guess noting Kyle's point that, like, it doesn't make any difference whether these are repealed or not. They don't do anything anymore. If we were to repeal them, they still exist in our record keeping as repealed bylaws, right? So we'd have a bylaw that says we repealed bylaw 417, 118, and whatever, nine bylaws. Those bylaws would still exist so that you could refer to them. It's like you can't get rid of the stuff we do. But we can decide on that later, I think, is probably where we're at right now. Like, we know that now what this bylaw was, we've got the information. And if indeed we are going to repeal bylaws, we'll do it in a group or lump set of them if we decide that's best. Any other comments or questions to item number one then? Then we can move on to discussion item B, or new business 5B, discussion item council procedures bylaw. In the package, there's handily the bylaw and then the two bylaw amendments. Brianna, did you want to speak to this as well?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. So our council procedures bylaw number 526 was passed in 2000 with an amendment in 2002 to the timing of council meetings and the agenda items, and then another amendment in 2015 to replace the terms of reference for a number of committees. A few of these have been updated, so we'll work to consolidate those into the current version. I'd like to provide a brief overview of some of the main feedback from administration in terms of potentially updating this bylaw. I know that it was something that committee discussed at the last meeting. So we're of course looking for lots of feedback on committee on any recommended revisions if you did choose to proceed with working on updating this. So feedback based on your experiences both as members and as chairs of various meetings and committees. So just briefly from the staff perspective of working with these bylaws generally and after reviewing them for potential revisions, the main kind of general points for adjustment would be increasing clarity of terms and provisions just to improve understanding in day-to-day operations and for the public to understand as well, and minimize incorrect interpretations of the bylaw. Modernizing and updating to current terms, information, and meeting current practices. And consolidating, as right now we have the one bylaw and the two amendments, so putting everything all together. So our office reviewed the council procedures bylaws of Rankin Inlet and Yellowknife, just for some comparison, and we can certainly review other ones for further information. A number of sections from those stood out as being potentially beneficial to incorporate in an updated version of our bylaw, including things like clear deadlines for submissions to the agendas, guidelines for delegations, responsibilities of staff and members, among other things. So if committee has questions about those provisions, I can go into more detail about what did stand out from those ones. We also tried to connect with community services to inquire if they had recommendations when drafting an updated council procedures bylaw. So if we receive recommendations, we will work to include those. If committee did wish to make a motion for staff to proceed with creating an updated council procedures bylaw, we'd like to have committee's feedback on revisions, and then staff, if committee so chose, staff could bring back a draft version of the bylaw incorporating that input. So I'm happy to answer any questions that committee has, and like I said, we really welcome any feedback. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I would be in big favor of creating a modernized council procedures bylaw. There's no question, just to really clean up what's here. Some of the particular points that I'd, like to review is, the order of the agenda, like actually formalizing the agenda as we do it now. Determining if what we're doing is right, like does it make sense to move things around, put new business before bylaws, because, sometimes it just, the flow of our meetings would be better if they were managed in a different order at times. It probably won't fly with the CTV Act as it currently exists, but I'd love to try to push the envelope by including in our council procedures the allowance to participate in camera digitally. It's 2025. That's a pretty big restriction of the CTV Act on us right now. So it might be a way of urging change if we try to include it in our council procedures bylaw. I don't believe the GN has to sign off on council procedures, but we can try, subject to any limitations of the CTV Act. That's where I'd start for now.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I agree with that, and I know we could also, if it can't be changed for some reason, we could put it in our procedures bylaws that it would change upon the changing of the CTV Act. Anyway, I think that's a procedure that can work legislatively. Mayor Awa?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a curiosity. if you want to change any of these in the wording of the bylaw, you need to create an amendment of the bylaw. Or could you make a motion to one of the items that be changed? And if it's approved by the council, then you follow the motion without creating another bylaw. Thank you.
So you're asking if there was a small item or a single item in this that you wanted to change, could you just make a motion and then we would have to follow the motion? It would amend this? So yes. And I was going to raise that, I guess, because there is a motion on the record that changes the agenda from the agenda stated in all of these that really should have been captured with these two amendments. I'm assuming that's why you're asking, but maybe not. Does that clarify the answer to your question?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And I agree we need to combine all of the one that we want to change into one bylaw.
Thanks, yeah. So for clarity for staff, there's a motion that says that we shouldn't pray at the start of a meeting, but we should instead have a moment of silence. And that motion, I don't know the right word because it's not amending this bylaw, but it is affecting this bylaw. And in terms of whether that's allowed, I think it is. I think maybe we'd need legal interpretation because a motion doesn't actually trump a bylaw. So anyway, I don't know. But in the end, the end result is that we want to repeal all of this and have a new updated bylaw that would be clean and would incorporate all of the changes. So that's the end, net end desire from this process. Does that cover everything or did you want to ask more?
thank you, Chair. Does it mean that we're going to have to remove that motion, and also amend the agenda in this way? just keep or add the motion into this bylaw?
I mean, I would say that we would want to add the sentiment of the motion into this bylaw when we change, when we repeal it and add the new bylaw. In turn, are you asking about whether we need to do something now before we finish? No, then I think in the end, we would repeal the amendments, the original bylaw, the two amendments. You're right, probably repeal or I don't know what we do with a motion. But the new bylaw would trump all of it and would be the document that we'd then follow for council procedures. Are there other comments on this bylaw right now? Councillor Shepherd?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Oh, yeah.
From administration as well. You know, as much as this bylaw impacts us, it definitely affects, you know, their operation of things in this chamber. So, you know, anything, any recommendations that do come from administration that can be built in to the new bylaw would be very, very welcome. You know, I'm sure council will have additional input potentially when this does come before the full council. But, you know, my biggest concern is really cleaning things up, finalizing and formalizing the agenda, the way it whatever format it's going to take at the end of the day. I wonder if we could expand on the conflict of interest provisions in council procedure as well. It does reference the relative territorial act that is still in force today. It's been amended from time to time, but the reference still holds. There's still some vagueness, even in the territorial act. Do we have the ability to go above and beyond the territorial statutes when it comes to conflict of interest, to clarify things a bit neater, or just simply refer to the territorial act or include more of the verbiage from the act in the bylaw? I'm just not sure what the best course of action is there. You know, I just thinking of my own personal situation, you know, when I declare conflict regularly, it's hard to say that is absolutely required under the act when you actually read the act. But in my own opinion, it's perfectly appropriate for me to declare conflict when I do, going over and above the requirements of the act, I'd say. So I just think it might be worthwhile for this council and future councils to have the conflict situation fleshed out a little bit more broadly within the procedures bylaw.
Thank you for that. Two things that I'd point out here, just because they've come up in the last little while. It's this bylaw that gives the rule that is often talked about, and this council really hasn't had to impose often, but that council meetings can only go till 9 o'clock, 3 hours, and then can only extend after with a unanimous decision of council to extend. But it's also this, and this is one that's maybe not understood by everyone, because that's only a rule for the council meetings. It doesn't apply to COW, it doesn't apply to committee meetings. So if you wanted it, it hasn't been a problem here, but if you wanted it to apply to the committees in some way, that would be the time to change that. And then I've often been uncomfortable with delegates and delegations coming here asking for things, and then they have to wait through the entire meeting and all our business to have their issue dealt with. So I have seen some agendas that have business arising from come right after or soon after. At any rate, that is a double-edged sword, because in some ways sometimes it's nice to have a breather of time to think about what you've heard, especially when the delegation is controversial. So I'm not 100% in favor of that, but it is an idea, or it's something we could think about, because there are times when it's, you know, less controversial and those people sit through the tedium that is our meeting sometimes to get to their decision at the end. Not that we're boring, but sometimes. Are there other comments, questions on item B or this bylaw or these amendments? Things that people would like to see in our guidelines of how we run our meetings. Did you want to add anything? Yeah, go ahead. You can do it yourself, right?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good evening to the committee members. We're getting the ebb and flow of how this committee is working. It's going to take us a while, I think, to tweak things out to make it as efficient and as possible. I think some of these bylaws, especially the one that's on the agenda tonight, procedures bylaw, it requires a lot more thought than we're going to be able to give it in one little meeting. Just something to throw out while you're having a discussion, that maybe there should be a working group or a subcommittee to the GP committee that can really flush these things out before it comes back to the committee. I would also like to throw out that a lot of this stuff is going to require legal review, that there is room currently for the rest of this year in council's legal budget to start pushing a lot more of this stuff to them first to see what the parameters are. And you already brought up the Act and the Conflict of Interest Act on the territorial level. We did speak with our legal contractors on the possibility of having a paralegal or a junior lawyer, a student lawyer, to help us with that. So just throwing all that information out there to help the ebb and flow of the meetings probably a bit better. Thank you.
Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate those comments, but I think a draft bylaw might be a good place to start for those conversations, like to have a proposed draft just as a place to start. Just for me, it's hard to go through this document when just there's references to town everywhere instead of city. Like it bothers me so much, it's hard to tear the existing bylaw apart. It would be nice to just kind of get a draft at least. And I'm all for, you know, putting in work outside of this committee to move that forward. But it would be nice to have what is considered a modernized version to kind of base those discussions and future work off of.
Are there other comments? Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. I just wanted to add too, I know I've referenced the Yellowknife Council Procedures Bylaw and I don't want to recommend anything, but I have all these different little sticky notes of all the things that stood out to me as being done in a different way or done in a way that could be potentially applicable. They didn't have a translated version, so it's not in your package as reference, but it is available on their website and it could be something of a comparable bylaw to take a look at. So that's certainly something that we'll take into account. One of the things I know we were talking about the agenda a few moments ago, in the Yellowknife Procedures Bylaw, they have the agenda order as a schedule, which can be amended by motions of council. So that was something that stood out to me earlier. So there's lots of different variations. It was refreshing to see that there's, in certain cases, more parameters, things that can guide meetings a little bit more, and in some cases, leave things a little bit more open. So anyway, just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Go ahead, Councillor Shepherd.
So what do we do from here? I think it'd be nice to provide some direction to figure this out. Like, do we just have a committee, like a few people that are going to look at this, or can we have administration prepare a draft bylaw? And as much as Madam Clerk says she doesn't want to make recommendations, I look forward to your recommendations. I think it's important that you do provide that input, especially in a process like this.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, committee members, for your comments, continued comments on this. Not to sound unpopular, but I'm concerned about the workload of the city clerk and the deputy city clerk. They're already running a very, very tight ship. And these items will go back to them, or I would try to have a run at it. Our capacity needs to be discussed. That's why I sort of suggest a subcommittee, or we bring in a contractor to work directly with the with the GP committee, because it's going to cause delays, and we, you know, we could get through this in a reasonable amount of time, but I'm concerned about the current workloads of staff with additional duties. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I'll have comment after, but Mayor, go ahead.
I lost my mind. He made me laugh.
Now, I guess my comment would be that I also have concern about that. I had it in the last meeting and the things we're asking of them. So I'd be certainly in favor of a contractor being asked to take the inputs of the notes that have been taken here and come back with a draft that we could work with. I don't mind the idea of a subcommittee, but this is already a subcommittee, and I think everyone here is willing to put in time. I think that would be the best way to be efficient with our time, would be to just have somebody draft a draft, bring it back to either, you know, to this group via email before a meeting, so that we can really then give input as a subcommittee, the whole group, and then back to the next Governance and Priorities Committee meeting. Does that make sense? Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson, for that comment. I think that makes a lot of sense. And your Senior Executive Director of Corporate Services is in the back of the room, and he's working on your budget. It'll come to you fairly soon. So we will pick up that discussion tomorrow on what that looks like financially. And it'll be coming back to you and into council and through the budget process. Thank you for that.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Mr. Chair, it would be nice to get that well in advance of a meeting. Excuse me. It's hard in 3 days, you know, from getting a package to having a meeting at times to really dig into bylaws. So, you know, when that does become available, it'd be nice to have it. Let us work through it and, you know, really dig into it, have some conversations with each other before we bring it back to committee, just so that work can be done well before we're in this room to talk about it.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, committee member. I agree fully, and I think what we can do in the meantime is work on the scope of what that position or contracted position will look like. And we'll bring that back through to you folks for input to make sure we get it right before we go through our procurement process. Thank you.
Mayor Awa.
Thank you, Chair. When we have these draft bylaw, then we can have sort of a workshop on it before PD Cow and the council meeting. Thank you.
Perfect. So we're good to go move forward now. We feel like we know what we're doing on this item. Excellent. And then in the agenda, we can move on to 5C and the identification of additional bylaws for review. Brianna, did you want to speak to that as well?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. So we've already kind of been discussing this, but at the last Governance and Priorities Committee meeting, committee did request that staff provide a revised version of the bylaw index with the current or kind of remaining active bylaws organized at the top to increase clarity on which bylaws are still active and have not been repealed. So that is in your package. I hope that does help to facilitate what committee was hoping for, but we're always happy to make adjustments if that is requested. Additionally, committee requested that staff recommend some of those kind of low-hanging bylaws for review. So I know that Steve was also mentioning earlier that we often like to have legal feedback on some of these bylaws just before we kind of can recommend anything. But I did want to draw your attention to a number of themes that appear in these earlier bylaws. So you may notice that many of the early bylaws that have not been repealed do center around taxation, tax levy. Those ones, I've gone through some of them, and they do all kind of appear to be essentially mill rate bylaws, all of the ones that are marked as taxation or tax levy, and other things like bylaw officer appointments, borrowing, things like that. So, like I mentioned on the earlier bylaw, most of these are either for one-time tax grants, mill rates for particular years which have passed, and appointments of bylaw officers who are no longer with the city. So, if committee did wish to review any of these themes of bylaws, and I know we were talking earlier about potentially, creating another bylaw to repeal a number of these or just leaving as is, staff could provide copies of those bylaws related to those themes for review and discussion at an upcoming meeting. One type of bylaw that staff would find valuable to consider creating for the current council is a mayor's mechanical signature bylaw. So we have encountered a number of times when, due to various and unexpected reasons, the mayor, deputy mayor, and alternate deputy mayor have all been out of town or unavailable at the same time. So when these situations arise, if they're known far enough in advance, of course, council can appoint an acting mayor for that duration with signing authority. But if there's no council meeting before they depart and their absence includes a pay day where payroll checks require signature, this does sometimes pose a difficult situation for staff. So the creation of a mayor's mechanical signature bylaw would authorize the use of an official reproduction of the mayor's signature for the purpose just of issuing checks in accordance with the mayor's signing authority. And this would essentially allow for essentially a stamp of the mayor's signature, which could be used to sign checks under a certain amount and minimize that impact on staff if the mayor was not present in person or an acting mayor to sign checks on that date. And just to give some context and some security on this as well, I'm not proposing that we suddenly have your signature and can stamp whatever we want. The city has had a number of these bylaws over the years, and you will see one fairly early on for one of the mayors. I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but there is one. 102?
192.
So that one is fairly early on in your list for Y. Blanchet. Most recently, we've had these bylaws for Mayor Redfern and Mayor Bell. The Cities, Towns, and Villages Act does authorize councils by bylaw to authorize signatures of the mayor to be reproduced in a number of different ways for the purpose of issuing checks specifically. So if this reproduction were to be used on a check, it must also be signed by another authorized person. They can't be the same person as the one that uses the reproduction. The reproduction would be stored in the city clerk's safe at all times unless being used. And then a record, and again, I'm pulling from the more recent bylaws on these on this context, a record would be kept by the office of the city clerk and provided to the mayor of all the checks that had been signed this way, including a record of who used the reproduction on each check. So I just wanted to draw attention to the possibility of creating a similar bylaw in that way. We'd really welcome feedback. And of course, from the mayor in particular, about the creation of, or about the drafting of this. But in general, of course, with those kind of low-hanging bylaws that were discussed, with what we talked about earlier in the meeting, a lot of these bylaws are not currently affecting anything. But we'd really welcome questions about ones that stand out particularly. I can try and do my best to answer about more particulars about what the certain bylaws are about and bring them back to council. So any comments would be welcome and appreciated. So happy to answer anything. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Deputy Mayor Smith.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Brianna. I'm absolutely in favor of having a bylaw that allows an electronic signature for the mayor. I also, at the same time though, still think it's very silly that the mayor has to sign any payroll checks at all, and maybe we should just not have that happen and people get paid in other ways, like direct deposit. I think there's a way to transition people away from that, but it seems very silly that the mayor is signing those checks in the first place. But, yeah, thank you.
Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I remember when we got rid of the mayor's mechanical signature bylaw. I didn't think it was necessary. I'd be in full support of bringing that back. Would there be a way to create that, you know, just so that we have a bylaw saying we can use the mayor's mechanical signature and just have the mayor and maybe even deputy mayor if necessary on a schedule after that, so the schedule can be updated instead of the actual name by bylaw, I wonder. Not an immediate answer we need, but it'd be nice just to have a mayor's mechanical signature bylaw and just a schedule that we can amend from time to time, as the mayors historically have changed every few years. And to just to second deputy mayor's point about signing authority, you know, I wonder if, I'm not even sure if we have a bylaw that governs that signing authority. Do we have our own Financial Administration Act? I don't recall what actually governs that, but, you know, requiring political signature is, for an organization of this size, is pretty crazy to me. I can understand for large things, maybe there's a dollar amount, like any check over $1 million requires the mayor to sign, but just having filled in that role from time to time and having to review payrolls and review a stack of checks and to initial everything and to sign, it's crazy. I think there's a much better way that, you know, we could rely on administration to fulfill those duties as they do elsewhere. But again, it's the mayor that needs to be the one to decide, so there's definitely input required there.
Thank you. Mayor Auer?
That's my question. I think we need to sort of short this out. I asked for a question to myself too, that do I really need to change it? Maybe these two can sign it if there's a procedure bylaw that, like you mentioned, $1 million check, but $25 check, I don't know. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Steve, do you want to comment?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for your comments on this topic. I like to be as prepared as possible, but this one caught me a little bit off guard, to be honest. We would have to go back and confer with the CTV Act and with our auditors. Paper checks is a bit of an anomaly. We got our signing authority bylaw that will say the mayor's got to sign at the $500,000 mark, etc. For paper checks, it may be a bit of an anomaly. I do recognize the deputy mayor's comments too on having everybody on a better type of payroll transmission, but that's always difficult, especially with casual workers. But we'll go back and confer with the CTV and with the audit, with our auditor, to see and bring that back to you for further discussion. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Are there other comments unrelated to the signing, check signing bylaw, related to Brianna's presentation? Deputy Mayor Smith.
Thank you, Chair. With the comment on, you know, how much admin and like city clerk already have on their plate, I wonder if this is another thing that it would be, if we're going to review these older bylaws for low-hanging fruit or things that affect other bylaws, is this something that we could also incorporate into some sort of contractor situation to do that like initial legwork, to do the identification? And like, if we're doing it anyway with one bylaw, would it be worth it to look at them to review others for us at the same time?
Go ahead.
Thank you. I think the scope of that contractor, like a committee, we will flow through the entire committee. But I do see that scope, including precisely what you're saying, is that everything bylaw related will go through that one contractor, and that way it's a lot more seamless going back and forth. Thank you.
Are there other comments or questions on this item? Did you have any other thing to add? You're good? Yeah. Okay, perfect. We'll move on to item 5D, request for decision, evaluation framework of standing committees of council. CAO England, you go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. We did discuss this item in the last meeting, but it was verbal. So we thought we'd just put in the format that we would like to use to bring the committee review information back to you folks. So if you're okay with this, a motion to support it so it becomes our standard format. If there's anything you want to change or add, you can also let us know. We sort of hope you like it because you'll see the next item. We've already gone ahead and used it. but we can always change that as well. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I'm assuming committee had some time to look at the next item, so the actual rubric or review format table in action. As long as we felt that it worked, I know that when I reviewed it and Steve and I met and talked about it, I was happy with it. I mean, going back to the idea of work, it's going to be a lot of work to go through for each committee to do this, but I think it's a fulsome way of doing that. Does anyone have comment on the format? And if there's no comment, does somebody want to make a motion supporting the use of that format for community review, right? Moved by Councillor Shepherd and seconded by Deputy Mayor Smith. You comfortable with the wording of that?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there comments or questions to the motion? All those in favor? Are you unanimous? So then, if you keep going in your package, you will get to the actual meat and potatoes, the Public Safety Committee, as we had asked that administration use it as an example, or choose one committee and use that committee as an example. So this is it in its format. Steve, did you want to introduce this? Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. I won't go through this in great detail unless anybody wants me to. I do want to first thank the city clerk and the deputy clerk. This was a tremendous amount of work. A lot of data they had to pull to put this together. But when I read down through it the first time, it sort of gave me a lot of the context I felt to give me a better understanding of the committee. So again, to thank them for that. We also met with the chairperson to go through it to make sure we're all comfortable with it coming to the committee meeting this evening. I will comment moving forward, we're going to try not to piecemeal this committee by committee. Now that this hard work has been done on pulling the data, we know how to do that, and we have some software applications that can assist us in doing that a lot quicker after we get some feedback from you folks tonight. So we would hope by your February, if not your March meeting, that we'll be able to bring back the remainder of the committees, and maybe that's the heavy topic of that particular meeting to go through it. So I'll skip over right over to the recommendations. So the recommendations, option one is to continue with the Public Safety Committee as it currently exists. Option two, to revise the Public Safety Committee to be an internal interagency administrative working group rather than a standing committee of council with regular summary reports coming back to the Governance and Priority Committee. Option three, otherwise revise the structure and or purpose of the Public Safety Committee through modifying his terms to reference the Sioux Council's vision and priorities in another manner. The staff is recommending option number two, and I would like to update the committee on some additional thoughts. I did have a meeting yesterday with the RCMP and Department of Justice, ADM, on the public safety concerns that council brought forward. We're close to be able to bring back an update to all council on that, but we talked about an ongoing interagency, so sort of links back to this recommendation, that we thought if the city were to host an interagency, administration to administration, that the topics given to this interagency could be provided by council. And then for the other agencies, if they're nonprofits or if they're Governor Nunavut, their elected officials would have opportunities to have an input into this interagency through that way as well. That way, when those items are dealt with, they go back to the respective elected officials. And for us here, that will come back to the GP and then on the council. So we talked about that with those different agencies. They thought it really could work. My past experience with interagencies is either very positive or not so positive, that sometimes the terms of reference is very broad, and there's, you know, 20, 30 partners, and they're at every meeting, and sometimes the topics only apply to them. We would want to write the terms of reference that, based on what direction council or the committee gives us for items for us to work on, that'll be the interagency partners that we reach out to at that particular time. When that item is dealt with, we take the next directive, and then it could be different parties at that point in time. So just to throw that into your discussion on this item tonight, that we think the interagency is critical if council is going to consider option number two. And I just wanted to talk about how we thought that could flow to ensure that council and our elected officials are still getting input and setting the items that we're working on. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Are there comments or questions to Councillor Shepherd?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would be all in favor of going along with administration's recommendation there. Just, you know, if a committee has met seven times and made a single recommendation to council by motion, I just wonder how effective the current structure is. There's still good interagency work likely happening at those meetings. It's just not reflected in the outcomes that make it into the public record. So I think it could be more effective as an interagency as long as there is a reporting mechanism back to council, and that, you know, administration takes council's direction when they're going into those meetings as the CAO outlined. So I would definitely be in favor of making that change.
Deputy Mayor Smith.
Thank you, Chair. Just a second, or agree with what Councillor Shepherd was saying. I've been on this committee for quite a while now, and I've found it quite a frustrating committee at times. Like a lot of talk and very little ways to put it into action, it feels like, and I think an interagency format would be much more effective for this particular committee. So very much in support of that as well.
Mayor Awa.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do we have the elected official in the jail involved in this, or do we want to invite them? Thank you.
Thank you for that. I think currently we do not have the elected officials from the GN involved. I think what the CAO was suggesting was that if we were to have it just be a staff level interagency committee, then they could, the political level of the GN could provide their priorities to their staff. The political level of the city, that being us, could provide our recommendations to the staff, and then the staff could have the meeting as the interagency meeting. Is that, do you want to speak? Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that's precisely it. I just want to add that maybe it won't be limited to just the ministers of those departments. It could be all, it's up to council, up to you guys, of course. You could also add the MLAs for the city. You can also add, if we're dealing with nonprofit groups, if you want their elected folks to also have a voice in this. So it's a great opportunity, I think, to broaden the scope way beyond what it currently is. Thank you.
And I guess I think, I won't speak for Steve, but I think that suggestion comes both from his meeting and also our meeting a few weeks ago, where I was talking about the potential for having this look like it's described in option two, but still have the counselor attend. Like, so it's an off the record, far less prescribed or official type meeting, but the counselor, a counselor, whoever we had assigned, could still be a part of it. I think his option is a is a response to that, a change from that, that would keep the council, the elected out of the committee, but would still provide a place. So the reason that I thought maybe a councillor should be there is because I think that this issue is obviously really, public safety is a really important part of what we do. And I know that though the assessment of this committee here makes it look really ineffectual, there have been times where the public safety committee, you know, and I think I spoke about this at the last meeting like this, that all of our committees kind of go in waves of effectiveness. Sometimes depending on personnel, sometimes depending on overall council, the way we've used them, they've been more or less effective, more or less involved at different times over my 16 years here. So I was thinking that, like, that might be of value to have a counselor in the room, that the counselors would want to be a part of that discussion too. I think his solution works for me as well. I do think that we need to have a bit of clarity on, like, so we say as long as they're reporting back to council, there need to be some clarity on that and how that becomes official. And I think Brianna's earlier idea, I think it was, of having the council procedures bylaw have the agenda in a schedule would mean that you could put that into an agenda as a standing item. As you'll see currently, there's a CAO report in the standing items that we don't get. I know in Mayor Redfern's time, we also had a mayor's report that was a standard item for a little while. But anyway, I'm digressing a little bit. You could have it in there, and then if indeed it wasn't happening or we didn't need it to have it anymore, you could change it easily. But that would be one way to guarantee that it was reported, was to put it as a standing item or have interagency or subcommittee reports as a standing item so that you could fit, I'm assuming, more than just this one onto the reporting schedule. Are there other comments about the committee review document or the recommendations? You would like to make a option two, make a motion for option two. Let me just look at option two for a sec. So make a motion to revise the public safety committee to be an internal, with regular reports to the governments and priorities committee. Is that, before we go with the motion, is that the way that we want the reports from the public safety committee to go, to come to this committee or to come to council or to come to another committee? Go ahead, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, this committee doesn't meet that often. I don't know how often these meetings would be happening. So I think that if this interagency was meeting frequently, I would say come to council with those, directly to council with those reports. But if it's not a very frequent report that's going to be coming, then I think it would be fine to come here. So I think that really depends on the frequency that we establish, if that makes sense.
Any other thoughts? The reason I hesitate and think maybe to council is because we are missing councillors here. So you're talking about a subcommittee of council that we're now turning into an interagency committee of admin. Like, we're pulling it away from council in a lot of ways. So having them report back to council means it goes back to all of us as opposed to a smaller group. Deputy Mayor?
Okay, so yeah, I'll move to option two, but reporting to council.
Thank you. So that's seconded by Councillor Shepherd. Steve, are you okay with that change? Does that make sense to you? Go ahead.
Absolutely. We'll note that, and that's how we'll do the reporting structure once we get this started. Once it goes to council first to get ratified, but once we get it started, that'll be in the terms of reference for that committee. Thank you.
Perfect. Are there other comments or questions to the motion for recommendation number two? Noting none, all those in favor? We're unanimous, thank you. We're moving on to the last agenda item in our new business, sorry, discussion item, City Council support letters. CAO, go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson Stevenson. This is a, from time to time we get last minute letter of support requests. So it could be numerous reasons. We're working with a lot of volunteer groups, of course. There could be some last minute funding calls that become available. We're just wondering, would the committee be interested in having some type of policy or bylaw in place that gives authority to the administration to be able to write letters of support with very defined framework? We wouldn't want to be supporting things the council doesn't, but sometimes groups may not get their requests in the council because of the, you know, the bi-monthly meeting schedule of council, that their window of opportunity opens and closes, and sometimes it creates some circumstances that we would rather avoid if the committee was willing to have a later discussion on that with some terms of reference in place. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Deputy Mayor Smith.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Steve. I think as long as there's a pretty clearly defined framework in place, that could be a great idea. I know a lot of these groups, are volunteer run. It's hard to sometimes get ducks in a row when you have a group of volunteers. But also, you know, they're applying for federal funding and grants, and these often have deadlines that don't, you know, line up with ours or our meetings, right? So I think if we have, you know, things that's like, is this a non-for-profit? Are they shown to be doing good work in town or trying to do good work in town? Does this relate back to our community in a positive way? Like, there's certain evaluation criteria that I think admin could apply towards this. I definitely wouldn't want it to just be like a carte blanche, like admin can sign off on anything. But I think there's a way to develop an evaluation that can be done pretty quickly. So thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, as long as the groups don't require a motion of council for whatever they need, you know, I'm perfectly content to, you know, defer to the mayor if the mayor's willing to sign the letter. I think it's perfectly acceptable for, you know, even by email acknowledgement, whatever it might be, to, you know, use the mechanical signature that we're going to develop very shortly. I'd be perfectly okay with administration drafting some parameters for that and being able to put that in place.
Yeah, I was, before I go to the mayor, I was going to suggest that the mayor would be, like, so council could delegate the mayor that responsibility of deciding if it was, like, and we would set out the parameters already, but deciding if it was controversial enough that it needed to come to council or if it was comfortable enough that it could be dealt with. I mean, I think that's a reasonable responsibility of the head of the organization, the mayor. Mayor Awa?
Thank you, Chair. As a councillor sitting down here before the mayor, I was going to suggest that sometimes we don't really need to make a motion to request for support. Yes, I believe that the mayor can sign off the request for support. The only thing that in my view, for application for sciences, study on the land or around Iqaluit. That's my only concern. Emma.
Thank you for that. And I think it falls under the category that Councillor Shepherd was talking about, where they require motions of council. So the Nunavut Research Institute, we wouldn't be able to delegate that authority to you because they need a motion of council to approve those letters they send need to be approved by a motion of council. And I would add, I guess, that, like, you know, sitting around here talking about all the generally innocuous requests we get, you know, for a softball tournament or for something else, an application somebody's doing, it seems fine. But there's also all sorts of not okay requests for letters of support that we would be entrusting the mayor to have judgment on. And therefore, I think those parameters that we, you know, we haven't got in front of us now, but we would need to discuss before we did this, are really important, because there are things that I think it should come to council to debate if, you know, something controversial enough is brought as requiring or requesting a letter of support. In my other question, I guess, is for Steve. Do you picture this then being a, like, there'd be a bylaw or just a motion? I think a bylaw that would delegate this authority with the parameters included in it. Is that how you're picturing this?
Thank you, Chair. I think whatever the committee recommends, we can make work. I like your idea a lot better. We give it all to the mayor. That's great. just joking, Mr. Mayor. The guardrails, the parameters, I think is the most important part. So we can bring that back in a future meeting for you, what we think that works with. The administration also can issue letters of support, but I get very leery about that because we don't know when we're going to step into the wrong one sometimes. So if the mayor is given authority on behalf of council, that's great. I think that's the right way to go. But I will also embed in that policy or bylaw or motion what parameters are for the administration, because we never want to be out of sync. But we also always want to help the True Blue community groups that are trying to do the best for Callaway Mute. So I probably we can bring all that back to you early in the new year. Thank you.
Excellent. Are there any other comments about letters of request? Mayor Awa.
I think we're going to do some draft bylaw.
Yep. On our agenda, we have an in-camera session with no items, and then number 7, which is adjournment, moved by Deputy Mayor Smith, seconded by Mayor Awa. No comments or questions. All in favor? Woo. Thank you very much to the interpreters tonight, Andrew and Lisa. Thank you, staff, for coming and spending your evening with us. We always appreciate it. See you next time.